The next several weeks might represent a bit of a departure for me. As a preacher, I am deeply focused on taking text, taking the Bible, taking scripture, and my task of reading that text deeply and dissecting it and questioning it and trying to find out a way to creatively and passionately present it to the body. So normally I start with a text and then I develop a topic. When I am asked to speak somewhere and I'm given a topic to speak from, I start sweating bullets. It's just difficult for me. It's always been difficult for me to preach topical sermons. If you gave me a text, I'll work with that. I'll develop a topic out of the text. So again, this is going to be a bit of a stretch for me. So then our next sermon journey is a departure. For one, we're going to explore something that has the potential to enrich our lives in the body of Christ, topically. Additionally, it's just one of those things that I believe we need to be mindful of, and this topic has a rich and deep biblical basis. So while I'm departing from starting with the text, we're still going to be in the text. Is that okay? For the next several weeks, I want us to consider gratitude and thankfulness. Now I know it's not autumn, it's not the fall, and I know the grocery store don't have sales on turkeys and cranberries. We are still waiting until November to have Thankful Tuesday and that Tuesday before Thanksgiving. No, the goal of our journey over the next several weeks is to jumpstart the cultivation of gratitude in our lives. It's a fitting time. Some of you have already begun to prepare your flower gardens and your bushes and your shrubbery and cutting the roses back. And some of you have gardens and you're starting to go to, you know, Schrader's and looking at what they have in the vegetable section and you're getting ready to plant your zucchini and your tomatoes and or tomatoes, tomato, 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 your whatever you like to plant your vegetation. I've got a nice little herb garden with chives that have already started to grow. We were already using some of those chives, mashed potatoes and butter and chives. But I can't wait to plant some fresh rosemary and oregano and parsley and a little bit of mint. Not a lot of mint, Nancy Swackhammer, because the mint will take over your whole garden, but just a little bit of mint. Some of you are preparing to plant and cultivate the ground and to make the ground a place where you can plant and it's going to be fertile, and you're going to have all these great plants in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, you know, some greens, some kale greens or collard greens for shakes, because some of y'all put greens in your shakes. It's a wonderful time for us to consider this idea of cultivating something, because we know a little bit about cultivating. Even if we don't have gardens, even if we don't plant, we know the idea of making a soil ready and doing things to it to make sure that it's optimal for growth. I'm looking forward to planting and harvesting the veggies and herbs in my garden. I can't wait to be blessed by the harvest of tomatoes and squash and kale greens and fresh rosemary and fresh parsley. Perhaps if we have hearts that are full of gratitude, when it is harvested, it might bless your homes, your relationships. It might bless your jobs. It might bless this church. It might even bless this neighborhood. You see, being grateful or full of thanks is part of the life of God's people. Whether it is displayed through triumphant praise, We see time and time again throughout the Psalms that there is this theme of thanksgiving. Take, for instance, the psalmist, number 9, verses 1 and 2. I will give thanks to you, Lord. With all my heart, I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Psalm 104, verse 4. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalm 106 in verse number 1. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 107 in verse number 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. You see that there are so many things to be thankful for. And the psalmist wrote these poems. They wrote these songs of praise that were shared in community, and they sung those songs. It was part of the DNA of God's people to be thankful. Now let's fast forward just a little bit and to the days of Jesus. And preserved in the vernacular of Jesus was the language of thankfulness. See him with the bread. He's about to bless this bread and distribute it among 5,000 hungry people. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 19. It says, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave it to his disciples, and his disciples gave it to the people. See him at the Passover table. Matthew chapter 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given what? Thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given what? Thanks. He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Fast forward just a little bit more forward and see the Apostle Paul embracing a spirit of gratitude and thanks. He was thankful for other people. Romans chapter 1, verse 8, speaking of his believers, of the believers at Rome, Paul said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Paul was thankful for being delivered. The first part of Romans chapter 7, verse number 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. See Paul being thankful for having victory in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See Paul reiterating the language of Jesus regarding the practice of communion or the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, is it not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is it not the bread that we break, a participation in the body of Christ? And the summons of thanksgiving is endless throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. Whereas the Hebrew writer summons thanksgiving in chapter 12 and verse number 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The language of thankfulness or gratitude or being thankful, it's part of the Christian vernacular. It's part of our language. It's part of our DNA. Being thankful is part of the human experience. It's part of our spiritual experience. It's something we learn as babies and something that we teach our young children. It's something that we learned as young children. Remember when we were kids and someone would give us something and what would our parents say? Now, what do you say? And if you didn't say it, you were going to be given something to give thankfulness about or maybe regret about. But that's something that we have to do. It's one of the things that, oh man, you talk about pet peeves. That's one of my greatest pet peeves is to stand at a doorway and just open the door for people and just watch people look at you like you just should be opening the door for you as if that was my job. I just got hired at Olive Garden. What do? I open the door for people. That's just my job. And it drives me crazy when people just look at me, give me a wink or give me a high five or do something and just say thank you. Now, Dion, you shouldn't be doing it to get the thank you. I know that's right, but it still hurt, church. We're wired to say thank you and to receive thanks. That's just who we are. It seems inhuman to not be thankful. You spent your hard-earned money and you give your money to someone or help them with something, or you buy them a meal, or they bother you to move you out of what's comfortable for you to do something, and you do something for them. Can't they at least just say, just thank you? It seems inhuman not to say thank you. And it is the presence of gratitude that has been the focus of the work and research of Dr. Robert Emmons of the University of California, Davis. He has spent years and thousands of pages of research looking at the science behind gratitude. His conclusions aren't really all that surprising, especially for people of faith, but his findings are intriguing nonetheless. You see, his research bears out these facts, that those who participate gratitude consistently, those who have a life full of gratitude, there are reports that they are better physically. They have stronger immune systems, less bothered by aches and pains, lower blood pressure. They exercise more and take better care of their health. They sleep longer and feel more refreshed upon waking up. He reports that there are some psychological improvements. There are higher levels of positive emotions, more alert, alive, and awake, more joy and pleasure, more optimism and happiness. He reports that there are social improvements. That means amongst each other, amongst people in relationships. He says that the findings show that they're more helpful, generous, and compassionate. They're more forgiving, they're more outgoing, and they feel less lonely and isolated. That's scientific research. That isn't just a set of propositions. That bears out from, again, years and years of research. In other words, a life of gratitude tends to give one a better body, a better mind, and a better heart. And so you are looking, if you are looking to be healthier, now in addition to, you know, eating less cookies and maybe, you know, instead of 3 pieces of bacon, you know, 1.5 pieces of bacon. And in addition to that, if you want to be healthier, embrace gratitude. If you are looking to reduce the amount of emotional clutter in your lives, embrace gratitude. If you're looking to increase the intimacy of your relationships, embrace gratitude. So this is what I want as many of you as who are willing to do over the next several weeks. I want you to think about taking a look at gratitude for the next 21 days. I want you to participate in an exercise of a gratitude challenge. The 21-day gratitude challenge is a popular practice that is being done all over. There is even an app in the Apple Store. I don't know if there's one in Android that has the 21-day gratitude challenge. Yeah, I don't have to look right now, but you can look later on. Now, church, you said too late, right? Church, I want to do something that I seldomly do from up here, and may bring us all back to moments in our childhood, or if you're a teenager, maybe something that you have a regular practice of doing. But I want to dare you. I want to dare you for the next 21 days to embrace deeply a spirit of gratitude. Now, there are a couple ways you can do this. I dare you to just be mindful and every day do something for the next 21 days that you're being grateful for, and just maybe wake up in the morning, first thing you say before you say anything is, I'm grateful for blank. If that's how you want to do that, that's fine. But then there's another way, and I'll get to that in just a second. I want to dare you, because I think there is something about the language of dare that actually motivates us to do things. You know, how many remember the Christmas story? A Christmas Story. If you've not watched that movie, you're not human. If you've not watched that movie. But if you not watch it, you will be given a 24-hour chance on Christmas, because on TNT or TBS they show it for like a 24 hours. But there's a scene in the movie. You remember the scene where the kid is, they're in the class and they're talking about, you know, it being cold outside, and the one guy says, well, my dad told me that if you stick your tongue to a pole in the winter, man, it'll stick right to the pole. And they go, oh man, yeah, that won't happen. That wouldn't happen. And then we get outside and we get in front of the pole, and that's where we get the dare. So let's see what happened at the dare.
You're full of beans, and so's your old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
I double dare you.
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's cause you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
Well, I double dog dare you!
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you!
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right.
All right, stop that. Wouldn't you like to know what happens? Okay. If you've never watched the movie, you have to wait till Christmas to see what happens. We don't have to wait that long to see what would happen if everyone in here spent the next 21 days in gratitude. So I don't dare you, I triple dog dare you. I triple dog dare you to participate in the next 21 days in a gratitude challenge. What I've put together, with the permission of Dr. Robert Emmons, who has been very gracious to share his work, and I think that says a lot about this. And he didn't do this research. I mean, he's a paid researcher. I mean, he's getting paid. But all the books that he's written, is not something that I see, at least from what I'm reading, that he's being motivated by getting paid. He really wants people to have better lives. And so he was very gracious in saying, you use whatever you want from the book. Make copies, pass it out, do whatever. So what I have up here, and I have several copies, there's some in the back if you want to come up later on after we dismiss here, after the benediction, you can come up and grab one of these, is a 21-day gratitude challenge. Each packet will contain some exercises for the next 7 days, and then next week I'll give you another 7, and all you do is just repeat the same thing you did this week for the next 3 weeks. And I double, triple, quadruple dog dare you to take this challenge and see what it does for your life. Now some of you might be thinking, oh, Dion, you've given me something else to do. I am. I am. But it's so that you'll have a better life. It's so that you'll be healthier. So that you'll be spiritually healthier, emotionally healthier, or healthier in your relationships. I dare you to see what being grateful for the next 21 days do for you. What I would love for us to do at the end of 21 days is not for you to stand here after doing this and listen to me talk some more, but I want us to share with each other. I want us to share with each other real stories of what embracing gratitude does for our lives, what it has done for our lives, what new perspectives we have in our lives because we have embraced gratitude. Are we seeing changes in the way we feel when we wake up in the morning? Are we feeling better about the emotions that we have that sometimes is run so negative and is so damaging to us? Are we seeing improvements in our relationships with each other? Next week, there's going to be pieces of artwork up here that you'll be able to every week place something if you're thankful for something. I'll explain that more next week when we have it. We're going to try our best to display a spirit of gratitude and remind each other of gratitude. Now listen, I'm not saying that we replace our grumbling and our anger and our bad feelings with gratitude. I'm saying that in spite of our bad feelings and anger and negativity, that we embrace gratitude. I'm not asking anyone in here to be fake. I'm not asking anyone in here to just dismiss all the junk and garbage that's going on in your lives. I'm saying that while all that junk and garbage is going on in your lives, embrace gratitude and then see how you view it after embracing a life of gratitude. I dare you. I dare you to embrace gratitude, embrace the language of God's people, a language that's been employed in liturgy and worship and in scripture all throughout. You see thankfulness from the beginning to the end. We can read Revelation. There's thankfulness in Revelation. There's thankfulness in Genesis. There's thankfulness all over the place. And all I'm asking is that we intentionally over the next 21 days. Now, after the 21 days is up, you can do what you want to do, but this is what I would suggest. Do another 21 days, and then do another 21 days, and then do another 21 days. And then it's not about trying to take pieces of the year to be grateful or wait until we get around the table and about to cut that bird and eat some chitlins. Maybe it becomes a part of our lives. It is who we are. And because of it, we see these benefits of good health and good spirit and good relationship. Book of Colossians, chapter 3, starting at verse number 16. If I can find it here. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Praying that that becomes a statement that we can plant deeply, richly in our hearts as Christ rule. That we will become a people of rich and deep and authentic gratitude. That's all I have today. Now what if I told y'all that next week I'm going to preach for only 5 minutes?
We'd be thankful.
You'd be thankful. Now, I just said, what if I told you that? I didn't say that was going to happen next week. I just wanted to know. Let's pray. God, we echo and we live and we breathe and inhale the words of thanksgiving. And God, we exhale words of thanksgiving. We inhale all that you have done for us, all that you do among us, all that you have spoken to us, all that you have demonstrated and displayed to us. And we exhale shouts of praise and thanksgiving. Father, we inhale your story. of salvation and your story of redemption and your story of transformation. And we excel words and actions of thanksgiving. And so our lives are lives that speak of our gratitude for all that you have done for us. Father, over the next 21 days, we are asking for you to show up in ways that you've never shown up before. And God, praying that you'll teach us things that you've never taught us before. Father, praying that you would help us to see things that we've never seen before, because we have taken this intentional moment of pause to show and to embrace gratitude. God, we thank you for the work of those who do the research and were courageous enough to not only do the research and to really just speak and tell us things that I think we already know, but we're courageous enough also to connect the role of faith and the role of your presence and good health and good emotions and good relationships. And so thank you for the graciousness of Dr. Emmons and his willingness to share his work, his research with believers. God, I pray that as we take inventory of all that we have right now, that we will come to a place where we believe and accept that we have enough, that we are enough. And God, I'm praying that right now you would take us to that moment, that place, where we understand that having you in our lives is enough. And that how you have created us is enough. Father, may we start there and embrace a spirit of gratitude over the next 3 weeks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing the song, again, a reminder of being grateful, being thankful, and implementing that in the life of the church, our worship, our liturgy. Pray that as we're singing, if there's something we can do for you, pray for you. If you're on the fence about this journey, you need us to pray for you to get on this journey. Again, I have plenty of copies. I want us to run out of copies, so I have to go make more copies. But again, you can get some up here, you can get some in the back. But as we sing the song, if you want us to pray for you, there's anything that the church can do for you, the people of faith can do for you, in the name of Jesus, we will do. So let's stand and let's sing the song.